Hello, and thanks for tuning in to this installment of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. My name is Matthew Monona, and along with my wife, Victoria, we're the owners and operators of the Wash and Word Hand Car Wash in Church Hill. You may know us over there by the Palace, in the Palace Shopping Center on Highway 11W. And there, along with our son, Matthew, and we have some great workers that are working with us, we are a car washing business, all done by hand, all done with care and with love. We treat every car as if it was our own. And, you know, when a car drives out of here from our business, there's two things we want to make sure. One, that we are glorifying God through the work that we're doing. The Bible says that in all you do, do it for the glory of God. And so, in a nutshell, we wash cars for the glory of God. And that's okay. You know, we're wearing out our bodies. We're sweating in the sun. We're freezing in the winter. And we're just washing cars. And some might say, well, that's the sole purpose of your life. Absolutely not. Our sole purpose, and yours too, believer, is to glorify God in all that you do. And this is how we do it. And part of the glorifying of God is doing a good job on your car. And the second thing we want to see as it goes out is that every car that leaves here is a mobile billboard for our business. So when it goes out looking shiny and clean, we've had so many people come saying that their friend or their brother or their so-and-so had their car cleaned here and it looked so good, they decided to show up. So we do it for God's glory. We do it for the sake of the business. And we want the business to grow. Why? Because we want to get rich. We're never going to get rich washing cars. We understand that. But we deliver God's word in a verse-by-verse format right here from the building. And we do this while it's open, but we do it while it's closed. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we play these messages that you hear on WMCH at 8:30 in the morning, Monday through Friday. We play them on a loop. Every week we change the five messages up, but we stay in order, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. And these messages go forward. And if you're in the parking lot area, you could be over by the library or eating lunch. You know, you get your pals, you sit in your car, you eat lunch, or you're over at the gym or Holston Medical Group, anywhere in this parking lot. If you turn to 107.1 FM, you can hear verse by verse Bible teaching 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That means that on a Tuesday morning at 5 a.m., you need to hear a word from God. You're not going to find a church that's open. You're not going to find a service taking place, but you can find verse-by-verse Bible teaching 24 hours a day right here in this parking lot. And so that's what we're doing here, and we're glad to be doing it. We just thank God for the opportunity. All right, let's get back into our Bible teaching verse-by-verse. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Oh, yeah, one more thing. If you have any questions, go to the website. If you missed any of the teachings leading up to today, we have them all archived on the website. Just go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And there you can get all the answers to the questions you might have about this business, about this ministry. And again, you can download and listen to for free all of the previous archived messages. All right, getting back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul is talking about the resurrection. We saw this from all of the headings in chapter 15. There's three subheadings: the resurrection of Christ, the resurrection of the dead, and the resurrection body. Our last teaching, we talked about the resurrection of Christ. Now we're going to move into the resurrection of the dead. And so this has been a sort of reverse approach to the greatest event in all of history, and that, of course, being the resurrection of Christ. And it's a reverse approach because we talked about the resurrection of Christ first, then the resurrection of the dead in the middle part, and then the resurrection of the body. And if the greatest event was the resurrection of Christ, we're obviously working in reverse order, which is fine. But Paul uses this section now to speak about the resurrection of the dead in general. And again, last week we looked at the spiritual and actual body resurrection of Christ. The reason I believe Paul started off with the resurrection of Christ in this chapter is I think he's aware of a struggle that probably all of us believers have had at some point in our walk. And if you haven't had it yet, you're probably going to at some point. And that struggle is this. Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had one of those what if moments about your Christian faith? Like, what do you do when doubt attacks you and you feel that maybe perhaps Christianity is wrong. Maybe this has all been a delusion or some kind of psychological trick that you've been playing on yourself. What do you do when you feel that the record of Scripture is merely just a collection of myths and legends and human writings, as we're so frequently told by skeptics? What happens when you get to that place where we question whether there's life after death, whether there's even a God at all, or a judgment, or a resurrection, or any of these things? What do you do? Have you ever gotten there before? I have at times. What do you do? Because these attacks on our faith are very real, but they can be used in a way to benefit us, in as much as a virus or a germ is also a good thing, whereas it produces a natural antibody. So, in essence, unless your faith is attacked, there will be no antibody being distributed or created. Again, just like a germ or a virus, when it gets into your body produces a natural antibody so that it doesn't happen again. And these attacks on faith only serve to strengthen our faith, so the next time that strain of attack comes, we won't be fazed by it. It's an interesting way to look at it, isn't it? Listen, we live in a world that is hell-bent, literally, on attacking the Christian faith. It's everywhere we look. And we think of Marx's statements that religion is the opiate of the masses. Karl Marx said that one time. That we're just walking around just under the influence of this religious belief. And we know that people everywhere are being blinded by a false hope of utopia, while at the same time being persecuted, and enduring great trial while waiting for their redemption to draw nigh. And so while the attacks on faith can certainly strengthen our faith, there is also pitfalls involved when it comes to the attacking of our faith. And so the problem with faith under fire is that the moment you entertain the idea of your beliefs possibly being a ruse, you immediately reverse Christian behavior. Let me say that again. The problem with faith under fire is that the moment you entertain the idea of your beliefs being a ruse, you immediately reverse Christian behavior. Meaning that if even for a second you doubt that all of this is real, that Jesus is the only way, even if for a moment that happens, the only alternative mindset to Christian behavior and Christian thinking and Christian living is self-seeking behavior or self-seeking living or self-seeking thinking. In other words, if you're not thinking Christ-like, you're thinking self-like. There are no other options. You're either living and acting and behaving Christ-like, or you're living and acting and behaving flesh-like. There's no alternate to the way and the truth and the life, except be it through self. I'm not saying it's a proper alternate. It just exists. So again, if we deny our faith, even for a moment, we are acting in the flesh at that moment. You know, all of the ads on TV, they're designed to sell you not so much on the product, but on the idea. And the idea is that you only live once. So get out and do all that you can. Spend all that you can. Step on whoever you need to. Enjoy life. Do it now. Forget about the consequences. That's what credit cards are for. You know, if it feels good, do it. And this is the antithesis to Christianity, which says to deny yourself, die to yourself. And again, even if for a second you doubt your faith, there's only one other road, one other route, only one other alternative that you could be on during that doubt, and that is the way of the world, or the way of self-seeking, the way of the depraved mind. And this is essentially what Paul is dealing with in this section of the book of Corinthians. They were not denying their faith outright, for they have seen too much to deny it outright, like you, like me, but they were having doubts. They were having some questions. There was attacks on their faith that were setting in, like today, like right now, like in our society, in our TV ads, in the culture that we live in. And so he says in verse 12, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? And if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. I'll stop right there. This is, of course, on the heels of a lengthy teaching on the resurrection of Christ, which we already looked at. And so verse 12 and 13 are verses that combat the doubts of faith that every Christian endures from time to time. And that is that the result of doubting faith leads to the mentality of eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. I'll say that again. The result of doubting faith leads to the eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die mentality. So when we doubt faith, again, there's no other alternative except for the obvious one. That is that in our doubt of faith, even if it's just for a moment, the only alternative is a self-seeking, self-pleasurable, now you only live once mentality. And so what is Paul saying? He's saying, listen, if Christ has been raised, so too shall you. So in order to combat these doubts on our faith, we immediately go to the resurrection of Christ. And that should, in a second, squelch those doubts. And there you have a great tool, a great weapon against the inevitable doubts that you're going to have about your Christian faith. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Christ has been raised, so too shall you. And any earthly pleasure that we might miss out on or that we simply love to indulge in is not lost at death. He's saying that a better life awaits us. Simply put, physical, sensual pleasures in this life, listen, were given to us by God as a taste of what's to come. We're not going to lose the good things that we enjoy. I love hiking. I still think I'm going to hike the entire Appalachian Trail someday. Do you think all that joy of hiking is going to go away when I get to heaven? No, I think it's going to be enhanced. And there's no need to eat all the good tasting food that you can do or go on all those expensive vacations and go into debt because tomorrow we die, quotations, or have all kinds of sex and travel and buy things because we're going to die. No, those earthly pleasures, listen, are a taste of what's to come, not the end. Man, that is such a good word for us. When we realize that the things that we enjoy to do, they're not going to go away. So we don't have to spend our lives trying to do them. We are going to get them and they're going to be even more enhanced. And so Paul now is going to answer the what if question. You see, everything that we love to do down here on earth that is not sinful, you know, like hiking, for example, it awaits us in an even better environment. And I don't know about you, but that gives me hope. That gives me encouragement. That sets my path back on its right course. And when I doubt faith, I'm going to think about the resurrection, because if Christ has been raised, so too shall I, for we share in his resurrection. And everything that I think I need to do today, I'll be able to do even greater when I get to that resurrection. Hallelujah. All right, let's end it here. Join me again tomorrow as we pick up where we left off. God bless you. Have a great day. I hope to see you at the Washing Word, Highway 11W. Don't forget, I teach verse by verse at Abundant Life Fellowship, Sundays at 6 p.m., 415 Old Union Road, Churchill.